Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in and sharing your time with us tonight. This is DSMA Live. DSMA stands for Diabetes Social Media Advocacy and is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. We're all about empowering, connecting, supporting, and educating those who live with diabetes. Tune in every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern at dsmalive.org. Our show is recorded live, and tonight is the 13th of August, 2015. We would love to hear from anyone out there listening. Our call-in number is 760-283-5150. Again, that number is 760-283-5150. My name is Scott. I'm one of the co-hosts. Our other co-host, George, we're hoping will be joining us momentarily as soon as his boss cuts him loose from the good old 9-to-5 he's working there. And then, as always, we've got the founder and creator of DSMA, Charisse.
Hello, everyone. It's been a busy, busy week. How's your week been going?
Yeah, busy as well. We just got back not long ago from the AADE conference down in New Orleans, so that was a lot of fun, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about that during the show too. And then we're packing up the Johnson household and preparing to head out on a little family vacation. So I'm really, really excited about that. I need some downtime, so I'm looking to disconnect a little bit and focus on family.
Ooh, vacation? What is that? Like a family vacation? Like with no social media, no nothing?
Well,
wow.
I'm thinking like, I actually bought some paper books to read, and I'm going to do some of that. But part of what I'm hoping is to be able to do is just do a lot of relaxation, and some of that will be to give me a chance to actually get in and read some blog posts and do some of the stuff that I just haven't had time to do lately. So really the focus is going to be family, but there'll be plenty of just relaxing and kind of doing whatever we want to do along with that.
I'm really, really like envious because I've already used about 114 hours of vacation time, right? And I would say probably not even half of that was for family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting better, but next year I'm taking a family vacation, like somewhere where like there's no internet, somewhere that I can relax. If I have to walk up to, you know, like the main house or something to check internet, that'd be good. But for the most part, I think sometimes I just need to really disconnect. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we think it's, you know, it's not okay. But see, I think the difference though between me is I don't have like the fear of missing out on anything. I just, you know, I just think it's been such a big part of my social life over the last few years, since 2008. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just hard just to kind of like completely disconnect. And then I even tried to take a Facebook break after the Diabetes Advocates Forum summit.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I couldn't because people that I connect with, and then plus I have like for the next couple of months for DSMA, the Twitter chat, there's going to be like 7 different hosts. So all the people on there are that I would connect with, they're on Facebook. So that's the only way for me to get a hold of them. And then the Blue Fridays webpage, I mean, it's just so much that happens on Facebook, and I didn't realize that I really just can't like disconnect.
Yeah, is it that you can't, or that you miss it a bit when you disconnect, or I mean, could there be volunteers and people that you kind of pull in to help with some of those pieces, or tell me a little more about that.
I don't think that I miss it when I'm not connected, because I enjoy when I purposely leave my cell phone at home and just enjoy my family. I would say that part of me peacing out is, you know, a week, well, for what, months or different co-hosts for DSMA. And I'm supposed to be, I need to sit down and really like talk to a couple of other people that I asked to like fill in, but I just don't have time to like sit and organize phone call conversations because,
mm-hmm.
you know, day job and school and families, I just don't have time to even sit like I used to organize those type of things.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely understand that.
It's bad because sometimes I feel like I'm slacking a little bit, but I think in order for me to continue to do good for people with diabetes, I have to take care of myself first, and I need to get my college degree, and that's something that I'm really, 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 you know, focused on doing right now. So that's where I'm at. That's kind of like one thing that I know that has to be done. So that's what I'm working on.
Yeah, I think it's good for you to, you know, to recognize that and work on that. And you know, there's one thing that I know about the community, the diabetes community, is that we'll still be here, you know. So it's fine, I think, to if you need to pull back a bit and do some things that you know will better your ability to do what you want to do. I actually really admire that.
Well, thank you. Which is why I don't, you know, use social media as much because of course I work during the day, but then when I get home, it's focused on homework. So, but I just don't want people to think that I kind of just fell off the face of the earth and I disappeared and just like burnt out from it all, because I'm not. It's just priorities, and I have to prioritize my life and the things that I need to do in order to get. I can't go from point A to point, you know, to Z without filling in the rest of the alphabet. So, and that's what I'm working on filling, is the rest of the alphabet.
Yeah, that's great.
Because if I would have known, you know, 8 years ago that this is what that DSMA would even be existing and that DCAP would exist, probably it's different.
Yeah, I mean, that's something,
like that,
though. I mean, I don't know if that's a, I mean, we can all kind of look back and say 2020 hindsight and what we might do different and this and that. So I think it's, I don't know, it doesn't sound like you're being critical of yourself, but like, I don't just, it's hard to, rather it's easy to look back 2020 hindsight and say, oh, I should have, you know, would have done this different, or if I would have done X, Y, and Z, I could be doing things a little bit differently now. That's all very, very easy to see in looking back on things, but it's super hard to know when you're in the moment or preparing and planning for the future. So I think you're a great example of someone who takes stock of where you are and looks at where you want to be and where you, what you need in order to get there, and then just evaluates things and takes things one step at a time. I really think that's great.
Well, thank you. I you know, it's funny because I kind of, not just, you know how you kind of just look at things, you just sit back and you just watch things like around you, and then you like sit and say, okay, what could I be doing at this point in life, or what could I be doing better? Or, you know, it's like somebody told me the other day, my niece actually, she said that she, you know, she thinks it's amazing what I do for people with diabetes. And I came back and I said, you know, thank you, but sometimes I don't feel like I do enough. And she came back and said, hey, you know, for everything that you do, she said, you're an army wife, you go to school, you help people with diabetes, you work full time. She said, what do you mean do enough? I think you do enough, but to me it feels like I am not doing enough. And in order for me to feel like I'm doing enough, I think it, I want it, I have to better myself first in order to do or to see decaf do what it's intended to do. And it doesn't even have to be me, because one day I'm going to say, hey, this is time to go pass on to somebody else. Like, I'm going to be like Brandy, and I'm going to be like Manny. It's a time when you do what you have to do, and then it's time to let it go. And eventually that's going to happen, but I'm not at that point to where it can even start happening beyond social media, because I got to take care of myself. And I have friends, and I don't listen. It takes me a while to really like listen to people, but I listen to them and I listen to their advice and I take their advice and try to see, you know, how it fits and if that advice would help me. And then to me, I'm a big believer, if you hear more than one person say something over and over again, to me, that's kind of like the sign that something needs to be done. And even though I do not need a college degree to help people with diabetes, but I have to think outside of, you know, what happens when I let decaf go and I move on to something different. I do need it. You know, that's kind of more like a family thing. I want my daughter to be able to see that I have one. And I always said that I wanted to get my degree before I turned 40. So I'm about four. How old am I? I'm 34. So 6 years out.
Yeah, you know, when you're talking about listening to other people, and this is something that, you know, sometimes I'm really slow to pick things up, but my wife is an amazing woman, very, very smart, one of the smartest people I know, and it took me a long time to learn that when she'll tell me something, and she'll tell me something again, and she'll tell me something again, and it's just like I got that dumb, like, husband selective hearing thing or whatever, right? Like, I just kind of write it off. But then as soon as I hear that same thing from someone else, then I like take it to heart and listen to it. And I know it drives her crazy. So I'm trying to be much better about that. But it's funny how we take that, input from people around us, and it depends kind of like who it comes from and what perspective they have on us and those kind of things. But like, talk about being kind of silly. Like, who knows me better than my wife, right? And when mm-hmm. when she tells me something, I should be like super quick to listen to it. But I'm learning and learning to appreciate her and her wisdom more and more each day. So life's a journey. So it sounds to me like we have Brother George on the phone. Is that right?
I think it is.
And no pressure.
Hello?
You got to find that. There we go. Got to find that mute button. There we go.
Oh, yeah. This is Dan from Buffalo.
Hi, Dan from Buffalo.
Dan.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. How are y'all doing tonight? I was listening to y'all's conversation, and something came across my desk today that it sounded like it might, well, it's going to come across as more of a question. In y'all's personal opinion, do y'all think Hitler did nothing wrong?
Well, that's, boy, that's
he's gone. I think he was a spammer.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Boy.
Wow. That was.
All righty then. And we're on to the next. So anyway, do we have George with us?
No, he's not. I thought it was him. And then
yeah,
when
okay.
I tried to look at the number, I'm like, what is that? But I think you're right, though. Sometimes it takes us a while to get what we're supposed to get. But I think when we mm-hmm. get it, it's hard for us to shake it. If that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless we catch on. So tell me, there was a lot of traffic on Twitter. I wasn't at AAVE this year,
mm-hmm.
Which it looked like I missed a very good one. But on Twitter, actually, it felt like I was there because there was so many tweets with different people. So it wasn't just people with diabetes that were tweeting. There was actually educators and, I mean, like, everybody was tweeting. So I was able to kind of keep up on what was going on.
Yeah,
so
really
tell me
great.
About it.
And That's a huge compliment coming from you to everyone that was at AADE. So I noticed that from the very first day, and I haven't had a chance to write about this yet, but it's high on my list of things to do. There was a lot of energy put towards social media sharing from those at AADE. And what we're seeing, in my opinion, is kind of a turning point and the result of the years of hard work from a few very brave leaders in the AADE. Those who come to mind first and foremost are Hope Warshaw and Deb Greenwood. And I'm sure that there are countless others behind the scenes and those who I just am not aware of. So a big shout out and thank you to the AADE Leadership Organization for working so hard to make that happen this year. But it also, I think, goes back to the past number of years where Hope and Manny Hernandez and David Edelman and Amy Tendrich have been doing those social media workshops early on in the AADE session. So there was just a lot of push from AADE to help make people comfortable with social media, and Twitter was a heavy pushed from the conference. They even had the AADE15 hashtag on the front cover of the conference schedule, and just really encourage people to tweet their questions. And it was just an amazing experience and part, something to be a part of. There was also a really big hands-on workshop that Hope was a part of, and I feel so terrible because I'm just blanking on the name of her co-presenter. Please forgive me for that. But that was very, very well attended. There was so much interest in learning social media. They had tables and kind of sections for people interested in Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest and you name it. So I was just so very excited to see so much interest in becoming more comfortable with social media. And I think as you say that you felt like you were a part of it, that couldn't be a higher compliment to everyone who worked so hard to make that happen at AADE.
Well, I mean, they did a good job. I mean, from not even just, because usually when you go to conferences, right, and there's a lot of patients there, you usually see more tweets from the patients, but mm-hmm. to actually see the educators actually jump on board and start sharing and talking amongst themselves, it was actually kind of cool. It wasn't just a one-sided conversation. So I got to see things from the point of view from patients and also the educators as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of made me feel like I was there. And it was like something was tweeting from every session. So there wasn't just, you know, someone tweeting from Joe Smith's session. It was people, mm-hmm. tons of people tweeting from every one session. So and pictures, I mean, a lot of stuff happening, and so kudos to Deb and the team because they definitely made it happen.
Yeah, it was just such an exciting thing to be a part of, and I tell you, when we did the social media workshop, so I stayed on Saturday to help Hope and volunteer at that session, and I thought that was very important because Hope has been a long time cheerleader of the DOC she's worked so very hard to help bridge that gap or perceived gap between the educator community and those of us patients in the online community. So, you know, when she reached out to see if I could help volunteer at that session, Of course, I didn't think long before adjusting flight plans and travel arrangements to make sure that I was able to do that. And so that morning, I sat with a table and we did Twitter newbies. And so after a bit of lecture and presentation on just kind of social media etiquette and how to respond if you're attacked by people on the internet who have differing opinions and are kind of taking aim on you and your opinions, which I thought was really important piece of information to share. So then there was a workshop session. So I sat at a table with, there was probably about seven or eight educators, and we helped all of them sign up for Twitter accounts and kind of dip their toe into, actually, I shouldn't say all of them. There were some who were just not comfortable with it, and I think that's a great. It's perfectly fine to not be comfortable with it, and I help them understand that it's with Twitter specifically, and I'm sure with other channels as well. You can take in the information that others are putting out there without actually signing up and creating an account. So just going to twitter.com and using the search tool and searching for a hashtag, you can see the activity that's happening around that hashtag. So you can't actually participate in the conversation unless you have an account, but you certainly can view what's happening and there's a lot of value in that, and I think it's a really safe way to sort of dip your toe in the water. So we had a few, one or two people who just weren't quite comfortable yet creating an account, and I think that's perfectly fine to have that feeling. And then the rest of the folks at the table, we helped set up accounts and talked a little bit about, do you use a personal account or a professional account, and what are the some things you want to think about in that regard. So I thought it was a really well done session. And I think there were a lot of people that just got a lot of value out of it. And there's such a huge level of interest. I mean, the room was packed. It was so great to see. I loved being a part of it.
That is pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So I saw a picture of one of my buddies from my sugar, Frederick.
Yes.
What was he doing? Oh, like, was he talking like in the middle of the stage? It's kind of like his own, TEDx or MedX, speech
Yeah,
about
so we
my sugar?
that's right. We had an opportunity to do a short presentation on I forget what they call it. It was kind of like a small product theater or a little small section, maybe 30 or 40 chairs in the middle of the exhibit hall. And it was such a fun, Frederick is an amazing presenter, and he has an incredible talent to, he's so good at building a story around a message that he wants to deliver. And there's an incredible story around My Sugar. The Frederick and Frank, two of our four co-founders who live with type 1 diabetes, they created My Sugar to help them solve problems that they were, they didn't like any of the tools that were available in their lives with type 1 diabetes. And so they work to create something that's beautiful and cool and as well crafted as the other consumer products that are out there, but that also go a step beyond and help solve, the real everyday problems that they're facing. So while there's already a great story there, Frederick has a very, very special talent in being able to build a story around that and take his listeners through that story in a way that really, I think, connects with them. It certainly connects with me. So I just by extension, I'm hoping and assuming it connects with them. It was such a funny, this was such a funny experience for me because as we're starting, had to help fill the chairs, right? So there's Frederick up there in front of the TV monitor and with a microphone, and we're trying to get people interested in coming to listen to him. And there's a busy show. You know, you're in the middle of the exhibit hall. There's hundreds of other great booths to see and products to learn about and companies to talk to. So what should make someone stop and listen to Frederick for a few minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Kyle and his fiance Manon, she's a diabetes educator from France who helps us with a lot of things. They had these bubbles from a wedding they had been at recently, and so I grabbed this bubble stick and I started like running around this small product theater, yelling at the top of my lungs, "We make diabetes suck less. Come learn how." And I'm waving bubbles around. And so here you got this big bald guy with a My Sugar t-shirt running around, blowing bubbles and screaming at the top of his lungs, "We make diabetes suck less. Come learn how." And it was it was so crazy. And I tell you, that is, Charisse, you know me, I'm kind of like laid back and calm and like, I don't put myself out there like that too much, but I really wanted to fill those seats for Frederick and get people to listen to his story. And so I just flipped the switch and went at it. And, it was very emotionally draining for me to do that. And, but in a very awesome way. And,
did anybody record that?
No, but Manon got a little picture of it, and she still says it was like the best part of the conference for her is remembering me running around. I mean, I was screaming loud. I was screaming at the top of my lungs, and you know, I have a voice that I could make project when I want it to, and I mean, I really I turned it on. You know, we had to fill those seats for Fred, and I went at it, and I don't know, like there's a part of me that hopes I never have to do something like that again, because I got done and it was just like this huge adrenaline rush that was drained out of me, and I was a little shaky, and that was so outside of my normal zone of operation. But yeah, it was quite an experience.
Yeah, because I could not see you running around a conference blowing bubbles.
Mm-mm. No, it was pretty awesome. I mean, it was like, I don't know. I mean, I'll do just about anything for my sugar family, and that was a great example of just that. So, yeah. And you know what? I'm actually, I don't know if I could watch myself on video. That might make it even a little more special.
Well, hopefully, if I am there next year and you all are there, that you have to do it again. And I'm going to Periscope it, and I'm gonna record it, and I'm gonna save it, and I'm gonna show it to you in 10 years.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'm gonna do that again. That might have been a once and done kind of thing, you know.
Darn it!
I don't know.
I just don't believe nobody
special.
Recorded that. Yeah. So how many did I have a good turnout?
Yeah, we so this was actually our very first booth for My Sugar on U.S. soil. So this was a very, very exciting opportunity for us. And we were very busy the whole time. We owe a big thanks to Brandon Arbeiter at Tide Pool, who gave us a big shout out during one of his presentations. He mentioned us in one of his top three favorite diabetes apps, along with Frederick's presentation. We were very busy, and it was exhausting, but terrifically fun and fulfilling. And, you know, one of the things that I love so much about AADE in particular is that these educators, they have such a raw passion for taking care of people with diabetes. And it's just so, it's so visible and apparent, and you hear it when you talk to them and with the questions they ask. And, you know, we're really trying to understand what we can do to help make their lives easier. And it was really, really a good conference for us. And you know, after the exhibit hall shut down, I was able to visit and sit in on some really great sessions. There was a session that that Manny did with Chuck McFarlane about advocate, being an advocate, and that was just wonderful. And then Michelle Lichtman did a great session on her dissertation research, which was also really, really great too. So the conferences are just, they're always exhausting because you're just going like crazy from very early in the morning until usually quite late at night. But it was, my brain is still kind of chewing on all of the information that came in.
Wow. So do you have any, like, if you had to narrow it down, it's going to be hard. And I don't want anybody to think that we're trying to leave anybody out, because I know you loved everything that you saw. If you had to narrow it down to like three talks that you were in, or maybe a booth or whatever,
I think that's actually quite easy for me. And you're right. I loved everything that I saw, because I can pull a diamond from almost anything. Because we work in a very special space with incredibly talented people all over the place. In Manny Hernandez and Chuck McFarland's presentation, you know, it just the fact that every voice is powerful, and just using your voice, just make your voice heard about the things you care about is such an incredibly powerful thing to do. So that was my key takeaway from that. Hope Warshaw session with the social media workshop, the thing that stands out to me was, one, just the overwhelming attendance and interest level and the great questions that we were getting from everyone there, along with there was a slide that she used, and I'm going to paraphrase because I just don't have it in front of me, where when you get attacked or someone is kind of beating on you with their crazy stick out on the internet, that it's best to respond with either science or radio silence. And I think that's a great way to approach things. And that one has stuck in my brain since seeing it. And then for number three was Michelle Lichtman's talk about what she found when studying how, like, does the online community, diabetes online community, benefit people. And she saw some clear associations that people in the diabetes online community are doing better and feeling better. You know, it's very hard to know, and she was very clear about this too, that it's hard to know if the association doesn't necessarily mean that it was caused by activity in the online community. It could be just that the people who are feeling better and doing better are just the ones who are active in the online community. So, you know, it was just such a, so great to see this information presented, something that you and I and hopefully many others who are active kind of feel in our hearts. And I think it's an early step in the right direction that should hopefully cue additional research to help kind of answer some of those questions that she uncovered about, you know, does the online community actually cause improvement? And that's a really, really, really hard question to answer, because, you know, some of this stuff is fuzzy, but I think it can be done. There's a lot of very smart people able to look at a lot of things, and Michelle's one of them. So it was, you know, the first time I had a chance to meet Michelle and MJ, and they're doing some really great work with their diabetes mixers down in the Salt Lake City area. If you asked for three highlights and as far as sessions and things, and those are my three.
Very nice. So what would you have liked to see more of, right? Or what is something that wasn't there that you wish was there?
That's a great question. And I will kind of sidestep the question a bit, because during the times when the exhibit hall was open, I was working the My Sugar booth, and there were a number of sessions on the agenda that looked really, really interesting, and I just wasn't able to get to them. So I was able to sneak up to one session that was about using apps and technology, and that room, it was a huge room, and it was packed, you know, standing room only, which to me, having missed the first half of the presentation, I simply took the large number of engaged attendees to mean that there's a very high level of interest in finding ways to reach and help more people and kind of scale that reach. So that was really exciting and encouraging to me. But I think that there was a lot more information that I just simply missed because I couldn't be in two places at one time. So if there was one thing that I was missing at the conference was either more help at our booth so I could go and listen to some of the great sessions, or a clone or a twin or something, so I could go and take in some of the great information. So it's always, you know, life is a lot about compromise, and so you know, we can't have the best of everything all the time, and we have to make some choices and be okay with it.
Very cool. Very cool.
So let me ask you a question about the social media activity that you saw. Were there anything that jumped out at you other than the overwhelming amount of traffic and feeling like you were there? Do you remember anything specifically that jumped out at you?
I think that, so I'm gonna kind of sidestep your question as well, because there were a lot of things going on. But for me, you know, it's one thing to know that the people that you provide service or that you support appreciates what you do, right, for the community. But to have people, you know, that like Deborah Greenwood, Hope, Claire Bloom kind of come back and say, know, what you've created with DSMA and what you do for the community is amazing. And a paraphrasing, of course, because they said some more stuff, but if I probably say too much of it, I'll probably start crying. But so for them to say that, to hear it from educators, it kind of was like, this is why it was created, to bridge the gap. Not just have a conversation with our peers, but invite, you know, healthcare professionals and educators and whoever to participate in the conversation. So to hear that was awesome. I would say that Chris Snyder, I wasn't at his session, but I knew his session had to be going on because a lot of people started following DSMA during the conversation. So I would say, you know, highlights about that. And then also Michelle Lichtman, her presentation, because so Chris's presentation kind of gave me, oh my gosh, I can't believe that DSMA Twitter chat actually has been tweeted. DSMA has been tweeted in 50 states in the United States in, I believe, over 20 countries, and that there has been tweeted, or there's been over 3,000 and some participants, and he broke it down from what type of participants, so from, you know, the advocates or patients or healthcare. That was just wow for me, because I'm not a numbers person, so to really see that in just, you know, just the year, it was amazing to me. It blew my mind. Seriously, it blew my mind. And then, of course, Michelle's presentation. So her dissertation, I actually was invited. She's like a really good friend of mine. So I was actually invited to listen to her dissertation while she was giving it, while she was presenting it. So she made sure that they had access to she made sure that they had access, social media access to tape her presentation, so that other people could watch it. So I actually listened to it. But here's the one thing that you don't know about Michelle. Michelle she's very, very smart. And really takes, you know, the community very seriously. But she signed her entire presentation.
Say that again. I didn't hear that.
She signed sign language. Used sign language throughout her whole presentation.
Wait. So there was an interpreter somewhere doing it.
No, she was in her mother. Her mother is.
Yeah.
She can't hear. She's deaf. Mm-hmm. So Michelle. She signed. She used sign language throughout her whole dissertation.
Wow. But, okay, help me, though. So I was watching it, and she wasn't, like, up there. Are we talking about the same thing, or did she have...
No. I'm talking about from the... So, because I didn't get to hear it live at AADE. I heard it live on the Internet, and I saw her...
So she recorded it.
Language.
Gotcha. Okay.
So the school allowed me and a couple other people that couldn't be there... to watch it from home. And she used sign language to help her mother when her mother wasn't reading the slides. So that was pretty cool. So that's how, so she understands, even though she doesn't have diabetes, but she understands difficulties that people with chronic illnesses or, you know, disabilities, she's like very passionate. So to hear and see her findings finally be shared with, you know, everybody, it was pretty awesome. And I think, you know, it's just one thing that it's always kind of hard to measure. But for her to take the time to want to have something measured with the community, phenomenal. And I would also say the artificial pancreas conversation with Aaron. I always mess up his last name. Pronounce Kowalski.
Kowalski.
Kowalski. Okay. So his presentation really caught my eye, all because I'm kind of like on the fence. I think the artificial pancreas would be good, but I don't know if technology is good enough to really do what it's intended to do. So I'm all for waiting for that to happen. And I was just, like I said earlier, I was just in awe to see so much interaction on Twitter. About it, and I made a recommendation to Hope and to Deb next year, is that next time they should have someone using Periscope to tape the main session. So, like, I would have loved to see Savannah Fox. Would have loved. And then the other person that did another opening session, I forgot his name, but that caught my attention as well. But even though they can't record every session, if they can just do the opening sessions through Periscope so that people can pay attention and watch, I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that would be really awesome. And I think, you know, based on what I saw, compared to even just 1 or 2 years ago, they have made a tremendous advancements in the sharing, the social media sharing. So who knows what'll be next? And you know, Deborah Greenwood is the active president, and Hope Warshaw is the incoming president. And you know, they've got their other leadership on board, it seems. So I think we're going to see some really some really great things. You know, you mentioned the artificial pancreas and how you're on the fence, and I have a kind of a funny story. This is really actually another insight that I learned. I've always been of the opinion that, you know, if we have all these questions about some of the limitations that we run into with our current technology, that surely the smart people making these artificial pancreas systems, like, surely they're having these same questions too. Like, for example, in the case of Ed Damiano and his team, you know, Ed is the parent his son has type 1 diabetes. So they're, you know, they're bumping into these same issues that we run into, whether it's, you know, all of a sudden you have a kinked cannula with your insulin pump, or a CGM sensor that's just not reading accurately. However, I'm going to take a little quick side tangent here. I have to give incredible shout out to the folks at Dexcom. That's the CGM that I wear. I can't remember the last time I had a wonky CGM sensor. And these days, I actually I will go out as far as to say that I trust my CGM almost more than the meters that I use. And if I get a reading that doesn't line up with what I'm seeing on my CGM, I will often double check on my meter. So, but anyway, I think all of these smart people, they have the same questions that we do when it comes to the limits of technology. And I was having this exact same discussion with one of the educators at ADE, and she told me a story that will ever stick in my head as, where's the sink? So she was working they're making a new fancy kitchen in the clinic that she worked at, right? And they hired this fancy architectural firm to come in and do all the plans and do this like new, totally badass kitchen for this clinic. And this firm comes in, does the plans, and they show the plans to everyone, and she looks at the plans, and she's looking at the plans, and she can't find the sink. Like, there's no sink on the plans in a kitchen. And she's like, where's the sink? And they hadn't put a sink into the plans in a kitchen, right? So I, on one side of my brain, I'm thinking like, yeah, all these smart people, they're thinking the same things that I'm thinking. But on the other side of my brain, I have that, where's the sink question. So big thank you to Carrie Swift for sharing that story with me. It helps me find some balance in my life and my brain with that story. So.
Nice. But I mean, I'm not going to say, I would rather for it to take as long as it needs to take versus being rushed. And you could tell everybody's trying to take their time to make sure that they can get enough pieces of the puzzle together before they even bring it to the market, which I think is pretty cool. And then, you know, like you said, Dexcom, I do trust that a whole lot. It's kind of like, you know, first you can't take my insulin from me, then you can't take the Dexcom. And my pump is kind of iffy because, you know, if there's always, you know, what if I had to go back to shots, as long as I have my insulin that I enjoy using and Dexcom, mm-hmm. I'll be good to go. So, and I think that's what George used to always say, you can take my insulin pump, but you will not take my Dexcom. Hi, George.
That's right. That sounds like something I would say. How's it going, guys?
Great. Good to have you, man.
Just slid right here at the end, but I'm glad I was able to hop on with you guys for a while. You know, in fact, I'm waiting to get some more sensors, so I've been without a Dexcom for a few weeks now. But no, I would, without a doubt, it starts with insulin is number one, then, of course, the Dexcom. And as much as I love my pump, I'd still put the Dexcom first if I had to give something up, so.
I think yeah, you're right. Fun. I'm the same way. Isn't it funny how, again, there's one part of me that thinks, well, yeah, if something happened to my Dexcom and I had to go without it for a while, like, well, we did finger sticks for years, right? Like, I lived, you know, how many decades doing finger sticks? I could just go back to that. But then when that actually happens and you have to do that, like, I can't remember feeling so vulnerable in my diabetes management. So, it's really crazy how that has revolutionized how we do things. So
yeah, big time. In fact, I think it was the day before yesterday. I'd been without my Dexcom for a while, a couple weeks here, and I don't know if I had Well, I didn't have a bad sight. Maybe there was an error in my tubing, or I don't know what the heck happened, but I was high yesterday. I mean, or the day before yesterday, I had, you know, blood sugar over 600. That's what on my machine it just says high, which is typically a nice thing to hear, but not from your glucometer. I was really... At first, what was funny is, so I was feeling really, achy. It felt like I was coming down with the flu, and I had this feeling like my bones hurt. That's what I kept saying. I'm like, just my whole body aches, and it's like my I can feel my bones. It was the weirdest sensation. And someone in the office was like, well, maybe you're getting sick. I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel right. And then I started feeling kind of sick to my stomach, and I'm thinking, oh, no, what is going on? Sure enough, check my blood sugar, and I get high reading. So, I'm rage bolusing and doing all these crazy things that you're not supposed to do, but I just freak out, and I just want my blood sugar down. And, after a while, I finally got a number on my machine. I got 599, so I took a picture and put it on Facebook and Instagram, like you do in those moments. And what was really interesting to me, the point I want to make is the comments I got about that post were so strikingly different when it was from someone who had diabetes and someone who didn't. It's really interesting. I mean, I'm reading through these comments and I'm thinking, you know, and all the people with diabetes are like, oh man, I've been there, you know, done that, or that sucks. I hope you feel better soon, or I hope you don't crash, and all the things that, you know, you think of. Like Scott had a great, you know, letters
are
better
than
letters, right?
Numbers are better than letters. Yeah.
Numbers are better than letters. Right. Exactly. So in other words, better to know what the number is than just high and not have any clue if you're, you know, 700 or. You know, 1700 or whatever. So, which I thought was really clever. And so, but then all the people that don't have diabetes, it's just funny because they're like, wow, that's really high. Like, what did you eat? Or I hope whatever you ate was worth it. Or,
are you serious?
Yeah. And it's just really funny to me because it's just like, oh my gosh, that's high, isn't it? Like, you know, it's just funny because it's just such a huge gap, like just a difference, you know, for people that live with it. It's just, it's different. I mean, you should be, $5.99 is nothing to be happy about unless you're in the situation that, like we were, like I was, where I had no idea where I was. I was scared. Am I still climbing? Am I going to end up in the hospital? Am I going to be able to get this down, you know? I mean, it always scares me when I get to, when I see high, you know,
right.
It freaks me out.
Right.
So for me, I it was kind of sarcastic, but it really wasn't. I mean, I was like, it's kind of a important point to make is that, you know, like you said, Scott, numbers are better than letters. And even a crazy number like that is better than it just saying high, you know, that was really kind of a trip, you know, how the education and how, the lack thereof, you know, and the misconceptions. So, anyway, believe it or not, it was a funny moment. And it wasn't my sight because later on it all just came right back down, you know, So I don't know. Occasionally I get air in my tubing. Maybe that was, I don't know, it's weird. Because I didn't like overcarb.
You know, sometimes, and I think that anyone living with diabetes can witness to the fact that sometimes you just have those days where you're just not sure what's going on, and you sometimes can't even trace it back to a thing, and maybe it's not even one thing, but maybe a perfect storm of three or four different variables that just hit you just right. And also it's testament to the fact that there are still a lot of things about diabetes that we just don't know or don't understand or simply can't control or measure. So
it's
what a ride this thing. And I think it also reminds me how most of the time we do a pretty damn good job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen that, you know, that high. It's been a long, long time. So, things have been going pretty good. So it's a trip how different that is. But other than that, you know, things have been very, very busy. I cannot complain. I'm very blessed and happy, but just really busy. So it's been kind of a bummer not being able to be on the show. But I'm hoping things will slow down so I can be around a little more. I really missed you guys, missed all the stuff going on. And yeah, it's a bummer, but I'm here now. So
well,
cool.
Yeah. And you know, me and Charisse, we always have fun on the show, but it's always even like three times better when you're here. And there's always a nice, comfortable chair and microphone with your name on it. So the last thing that we want is for you to feel stressed when you're already busy and stressed about being stressed and busy. So
I appreciate that.
You know,
I appreciate that. So what's been going on? I know we're just a few minutes here, but what's going on?
I have something very random.
Yeah,
very,
I love it.
Very, so random that it's not even diabetes related.
Have
you all seen The Lion King, right? Everybody's seen The Lion King on here?
Oh, yeah, several times.
Scott, you seen it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of years, but yeah.
They're doing a spinoff.
Okay.
Like a sequel?
Yeah.
Is it a movie or is it a show?
It's a movie. It's a movie. It's going to be Simba and Nala, so it's going to be a spinoff. So it's like the sequel to The Lion King, so it's them grown up.
Well, listen, as long as Timon and Pumbaa are in it, then I'm good with that.
Oh my gosh, that's true. They're pretty funny.
So that's true. So that's my random thought for today is that I know that's very random, but hey, I can't believe that they're doing that. Okay, so that's it. I'm sorry.
I got to have coffee with Rob Mueller yesterday or the day before yesterday. So that was really great. So for our listeners, Rob is a dear friend of ours who started. He works with Roche Diabetes and was very, very involved, if not a key player in the very first social media summit that any pharmaceutical, pharma device company, like any industry company, put together, and played a really key role in helping a lot of us meet face to face for the first time. So through that, he's become just a real close friend, and it was really nice to catch up with him.
Very cool. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, we should probably have him on the show, just kind of like life after diabetes.
You know, the thing about Rob is that he's always like, he's still, he loves us and he loves the community. And even if we tried to do a life after diabetes show, it would always come back to like us in the diabetes community and just all the good work that he's done and is continuing to do, and what he's learned, and how he's applying that to his future roles and things. So it would be really, really fun to catch up with him on the show. We should do that.
We should. And did you also know that he was also my new mentor?
I learned that just when I visited with him, so I'm happy to hear that. I think that's a great choice.
Thank you. Thank you. So George, I have a question for you.
Sure.
What's the weather like in California?
Currently, it is quite beautiful outside. It's been in the 80s for the most part. Today, mm-hmm. we had a high of 85, mm-hmm. and I think it's mostly going to be 90s the rest of the week, which is great. So then I can hit the swimming pool this weekend. Yeah, Saturday we got 100. So that sounds
Yo.
Great.
Do you still do the, you remember the geocaching app that you showed me when
yeah.
I came down? Do you still use that? Do you still play that?
No, not really. I still play, there's an app called Ingress. It's a game that's similar to that, that I still play, which is kind of an interactive, same kind of game where you walk around, and I'm playing a lot of disc golf too, but I've been doing that. I'm still playing that game, which is a lot of fun. But no, I haven't done geocaching in a while, but that's a great one. I just haven't done it, so.
Nice. Thanks. And how's the family?
Great. Yeah, my son is getting ready to, debut another music video that he just finished, him and his band finished recording, and they're playing around a lot of places here in Orange County. And they're doing great. My daughter started her senior year of high school, which is just insane. She's doing great. Yeah. No complaints.
I was just catching up with you.
I know, it's been a while. Well, I think that we are out of time.
Yes, 10:02.
I talked to so before we close it up real quick, you know, I talked to my dad. He's a very regular listener, and he said, "So, you guys can do half hour show tonight? You know, Sharice talked about going to school and this and that." And I said, "Well." What I said to him exactly was, yeah, whatever the boss wants, and by the boss, I was referring to you, Sharice, with all due respect and admiration, of course. But then I said, you know, however, we often plan something like that, and we just start having fun with what we're talking about and go on and on. So this is a great example of something like that. We covered a lot of really great ground with the conference and catching up with all of us a bit. This was a great show.
You know what? I was gonna say, before you go, what does your dad think about the new kind of the switch up? Is he digging it? He missed the old format?
I mean, yeah, dad's good to go. He enjoys all of it. He enjoys listening to us. He enjoys learning and listening to guests and interviews. And I think that, we mix it up a little bit. It's the best of both worlds. So, yeah.
Very cool. So I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, that's all. I was going to ask George if he's got the closing in front of him, or if he wants me to roll with it.
Oh, I'm always ready to go.
Awesome.
I do appreciate you guys letting me hop on here near the end and
wait a minute, whoa.
Airtime
there
is very cool.
There is no letting. You are always a part of the show, even when you
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Your mic is always on, man.
You guys are awesome. Well, thank you for that. I'm going to say it anyway. And thank everyone for listening and participating in DSMA Live tonight. Remember, DSMA Live is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. Visit DSMALive.org to listen to archive shows, read show notes, and check the schedule for upcoming shows. You can also subscribe to the podcast by searching DSMA Live in the iTunes store. Tomorrow's Friday, so be sure and wear blue for Blue Friday. And until next Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, we'd like to wish you all a very happy and healthy week. Good night.